The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they have deemed gonorrhea as an urgent public health threat. Why has this disease become such an issue?
Well, it's always been an issue. It's a commonly sexually transmitted organism, but the issue is that it's developed resistance to many of the antibiotics that we used to use. And so it's becoming more difficult to treat. And for that reason, it's moved to the forefront of, of the priority, if you will, for many of these sexually transmitted infections.
And not necessarily needing a science lesson, but why does a disease develop resistance? How is it that it is becoming such that, you know, cures are not working, medication that once did work isn't working anymore?
Well, I think that if we break it down, if you think about things from selection of the fittest, so to speak, that when bacteria are, or organisms really in general, viruses do this as well, but for our purposes here, for bacterial infections, that when they're exposed to antibiotics, there are certain mutants, if you will, that have a selection bias. They survive that environment, being exposed to those antibiotics. And so those that survive now become the more fit bacteria that can then go on to divide even in and thrive even in the environment of these antibiotics that they're being exposed to.
So it's really
a genetic thing. It's a genetic thing, the mutations, if you will, of these antibiotics, and they those that can survive do survive and thrive. And so now all of the subsequent replications and new of these bacteria are no longer susceptible to the antibiotic class that was used previously.
And Dr. Sullivan, what could happen if someone who has gonorrhea goes untreated?
Well, several things can happen. One of the things that's called pelvic inflammatory disease among women is a concern that can lead to scarring of the tube, of the fallopian tube, that can lead to infertility. There's something called ectopic pregnancy that can also develop when the egg, fertilized egg, becomes implanted up in the scarred fallopian tube as opposed into the uterus. So there's a higher risk for ectopic pregnancy. And so the other thing is that we know that with sexually transmitted diseases in general, when we have them, it increases our risk of getting HIV. So that's another concern, is that HIV could perhaps be more transmissible. And then with men, a concern is something called urethritis, or inflammation of the urethra, which is could lead to scarring and issues there as well. And so,
and I know you just mentioned men, but it does seem that women is a group that are especially at risk. And I know in the press release, it kind of broke it down to who really needs to be tested and kind of pay attention to this issue.
Yeah, the issue is that men, for the most part, know when they have it. They have symptoms, pain when they urinate, and it's a painful situation. It happens pretty quickly. But with women, they can be asymptomatic. They don't know they have it. And so that's a concern, because the bacteria can be there causing a problem, these problems that we talked about before, scarring, the fallopian tubes, or, pelvic inflammatory disease, these types of things. That go on untreated, or they're treated late because a woman doesn't know that she has it. So that's the reason for the screening recommendations that you're seeing in the press release there.
And how can the Brazos County Health Department help with this? What can people do if they think that they are somebody who needs to be tested and have this checked out?
Well, I think that doing what they're doing by getting the information out there, where the patient is seen, in the clinics or urgent cares, providers to be aware that this is an issue, that we are doing the appropriate screening, that the screening recommendations as outlined in the press release are being followed, that we're finding this and treating it quickly. I mean, that's really the issue, treating it quickly and appropriately. And these guidelines remind us that we need to be treating it with these antibiotics, with the ceftriaxone and the azithromycin and the combination that's outlined there. So that's I think what the health department has done a good job of. Health department also offers screening as well. And so, you know, not only from an education standpoint, but even from a clinical standpoint, I know that they offer these services. And so that's another way that they can and do help.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about this topic before we move on to the next one?
No, I think it covers it pretty well.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, we haven't heard a lot about the flu this year. What trends are y'all kind of seeing with flu numbers and cases?
Yeah, we've seen low numbers this year relative to, you know, years in the past, but that happens. You know, it's always difficult to know and extremely difficult to predict, if not impossible to predict, when the flu season is going to hit. And so we know that we're still within the flu season. There is still the opportunity to get flu. We still recommend those who have not yet been vaccinated to be vaccinated. Most of us feel that it's not an if thing, it's just a when. You know, when does the flu season hit? And so now that students have come back into College Station, you know, that's always more of a concern about a time of increased potential for transmissibility. You know, students have been different areas, they come back, and so it doesn't take much once they get started. And so we're still well within flu season. It's still to be determined. So I think the recommendation here for sure is that folks do get vaccinated if they have not yet been vaccinated.
Okay. And, you know, something that I think is kind of funny, people always say, well, it really depends on the weather. Does the flu depend on the weather? Does the weather cause any type of, you know, trends in the numbers that you guys see, whether it's up or down?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt that there are certain conditions that make flu transmissibility more likely. But we know that there are changing weather patterns, and that's every year, right? There's always changing weather patterns. And so it's very difficult to say, oh, this is a warm year, this is a cold year, this is more likely or less likely, because, you know, there's no doubt that we see it. You know, we see it within changing weather patterns every year. So it's very difficult to tie or correlate, rather, any specific weather trend with it.
Okay.
I would say that, you know, no doubt about it, that the winter months are allow for the transmissibility to occur. So within a winter month, yeah, it can be unseasonably warm for a while, but then it becomes right back down to the winter that we expect, as we've already seen, you know, this winter.
Right.
And so the conditions that allow the transmissibility to occur are going to happen this winter. I mean, we know that. And so, you know, so we still need to be prepared.